Is being a member of a church just about tithing and having your name on the roster? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September is Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Connected to Christ costs $5.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Connected to Christ, 1-800-325-3040. That's the Ely Cathedral Choir with the 103rd Psalm. Very familiar words. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, bless the Lord, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. What does it mean to bless the Lord? We often hear in Scripture and speak as Christians of the Lord blessing us. What does it mean to bless Him? We even say this near the end of some settings of the divine service. We'll say, bless we the Lord. Thanks be to God. What are we talking about? And where do we find Christ in this very familiar psalm? We'll be in Psalm 103, our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Todd.
Before we get into the verses here, we kind of have an idea of what it means that God blesses us. What does it mean when we say we bless the Lord?
Yeah, this is actually a very interesting question. This word here that we have repeated over and over again in the psalm, bless Yahweh, bless Yahweh, bless Yahweh. I mean, we're doing this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times where we're saying, bless the Lord. And you specifically are saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. You're teaching yourself to bless God. Well, this word in the Hebrew, barak, this is the word that God speaks when God speaks His blessing. So it's God's spoken word of life. That's what we want to understand here, that it's God who speaks His word of life, and this is a good word. So in a way, what we're looking at is we're looking at the gospel, the good news, the good message, the good word. And this blessing the Lord, this is the good word that comes from Him that gives life, and then it's that same word that we put upon our lips that we then speak this word of life. So we're praising the Lord when we're blessing the Lord. His word is put upon our lips. It's that word of life. So sometimes you'll see the translation of, praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord and forget not all His benefits, because it's that good word. It's not a bad word. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. It's a word that produces and brings forth life. It's an efficacious word. So this is the word that we're looking at here when we say bless the Lord. It goes all the way back to Genesis, that's the word that the Lord spoke. So in Hebrew, it's barak. He speaks this in Genesis 1 when God blesses the animals of the earth, and He says, be fruitful and multiply. So you see that this is a word, a good word that brings life. Later on in Genesis, He also speaks this word to Adam and Eve, that they would also be blessed. He blesses them with this good word of life, saying, be fruitful and multiply. And you'll see this continuing throughout the book of Genesis. I mean, you'll even see this on the seventh day, that God blesses the seventh day and He makes it holy, so that Sabbath, that day is a good day, a day that brings forth life, that brings God's blessing with God's word. Or you'll see this in Genesis 9 with that covenant with the rainbow that's in the sky, that when God sees the rainbow, he reminds himself about the promises that He gave to Abraham and to his offspring. To Noah and to his offspring, and he's blessing Noah there in chapter 9. and he's speaking that word of life, saying, be fruitful and multiply. You'll see this with Abraham later on, of course, in Genesis 12, when the Lord blesses Abraham and says, I will bless you, and I'm going to bless those who bless you. This is this word Barak, this word that's a good word. It's a good word that brings life. We will also see this in Numbers chapter 6, when Aaron places the name of Yahweh upon the people with that benediction. And that's kind of what you're talking about in the divine liturgy, that blessing with God's presence, with God's name upon us, that the Lord blesses us and he keeps us. He makes his face to shine upon us and he's gracious to us. He lifts up his countenance and he's the one who gives us peace. So this is a good word that he blesses us with. It's a gospel word. It's that blessing that God bestows life and multiplies. And I mean, you'll even see this later on in Deuteronomy 28 when you have the difference between the blessings and the curses. This, again, is this Hebrew word, Barak, that the blessing is you're going to multiply. You're going to have life. Your cattle are going to multiply. Your food is going to multiply. The fruit of your womb is going to multiply, that you'll continue to have life. In fact, that's when we translate this into the Greek, when the rabbis do this in the Septuagint, they use that word oi logeo, which is to speak a good word, which is that oi logia, or a good word, which we would get the word eulogy from. So when you speak well of somebody, you speak good of somebody instead of speaking bad or ill of somebody. And of course, this goes to that word of the gospel itself, which is a good word. It's a good message. It's good news. It's the oiangelion. It's that good message. It is that word that gives life. So it's that life-giving word. So I think one way to look at this blessing, is it's the gospel. It's the good news. It's the word of God that gives life. In fact, even in the Lord's Supper, when Jesus is betrayed and he institutes his supper and he gives to us his body to eat, he gives to us his blood to drink, he blesses the bread. He speaks the good word and he breaks it and he says, take and eat, this is my body. Or even when Paul will talk about the Lord's Supper, this good word that we then eat that gives us life, he says, the cup of blessing that we bless. Again, this is that good word, that oi logeo, to speak that good word, that oi logia, that eulogy, that good word, that when we bless, it's the cup of blessing, we're speaking that good word in the participation of Christ's blood, because it's in his body and his blood that gives us life. That is, that's the gospel. So when Jesus gives us the Lord's Supper, he gives to us the New Testament in his blood, he's giving it to us, this good word of life. It's the good news, it's the gospel message.
So the first couple of verses here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then begins a list of those benefits. Take us through those and as we look for Christ in this psalm.
See, so again, when we see this word of blessing, you're taking that word, that good word, the word that brings life, and you're putting it upon your lips. You're putting it upon your mouth. You're confessing it. You're speaking it. And so that's why immediately when you put that good word upon your lips and you speak it, it enables you to hear it and to meditate upon it and to think about it, to recall and to remember so that you don't forget the benefits, what this actually gets for you, what this gives to you, what this good word does for you. This is the word of the kingdom. This is God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom. It's a kingdom of pardon and redemption. So the benefits, this is what that good word does, is it brings pardon, it brings redemption, it brings a satisfaction, it brings healing, and this is kind of this list that we have here. In fact, even that word benefit itself really is this Hebrew word gemul, which is to the dealing or the recompense. I mean, this is a word we've talked about before, but before that recompense, that earning, that dealing, the giving what it gives to you, what you get from it. And you'll see this like in Isaiah 35, when you're to speak to those who have an anxious heart, and you're going to speak to them a good word. And that good word, the word that brings life, is be strong, fear not, behold, your God will come with vengeance and with the recompense of God. Now, that word we're translating as recompense is the same word we're translating here as benefit. That what's the benefit? What's the recompense? What is he coming to deal with to us? Well, he comes to save us. That's what we have in Isaiah 35, and that's what we have here. It's a good word from God who is good. It's a word of life from God who is life. And so that good word, it brings to us the pardoning from all of our iniquities. Again, the wages of sin brings death. Sin separates us from God. Sin takes us away from his presence, from his face. It takes us into darkness and into death. But this good word, it removes this iniquity. It heals the diseases. And of course, it's by the wounds of Christ that we are healed. And so this good word, it's the good word of redemption. That same word, that Ga'al, the where we get the word Goel, the kinsman redeemer, that he has redeemed us from the pit. He's redeemed our life. Again, that's that word of life. It's a good word. And he crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. And then this steadfast love is that's that Hebrew word that we love, that chesed, that steadfast love, faithfulness, graciousness, mercifulness, the goodness of God, that he crowns us with who he is and what he does. That's the good word we put upon our lips, and that he satisfies us with good. Now, when we have this word good, remember that the word good is directly related to the word life. And so when Adam is in the garden and he's alone without Eve, it's not good, meaning he cannot have life that continues to be procreated from Adam by himself. But when he's given the gift of Eve, then you have life and you have procreation. So it's good, it brings forth life. There's a direct correlation between life and good. And so that good word, it brings life. It's the word that brings to us a renewal. And even this language here of the youth is renewed like the eagle. Well, this is the language of Isaiah 40. Remember in Isaiah 40, at the tail end of that chapter, we have this understanding that God is the creator. He's the one that brings forth life. He's the one that continues to be with us. He is eternal, and he does not faint. He does not grow weary. And so because he's the one that does not faint and grow weary, he's the one who gives strength to those who are weakened. So the youth, even though they shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall exhausted in Isaiah 40, they who wait on Yahweh shall be renewed with strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not grow faint. This is that same kind of imagery that we have in Isaiah 40 that we have here now in Psalm 103, that we're being renewed by God. The one who creates is the one who recreates. The one who gives life is the one who restores life. The one who gives to us our existence is the one who continues to come to heal us and to save us and to dwell with us.
We're talking with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament, on this Thursday afternoon, looking at Psalm 103, Bless the Lord, O my soul. And we come back a little bit of a history lesson, almost the Old Testament in a nutshell, in verses 6 through 14.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Ever attended an Issues Etc. conference or any number of events that take place across the Synod and wondered why more people from your congregation aren't there? Then check out the special seminar package the CLCC is offering for the 500th anniversary. All you need so your circuit can prepare, promote, and present a seminar that will appeal to all the members of your congregation, provided for free by the CLCC. Just go to theclcc.org, theclcc.org, and click on the blue box, or check us out on Facebook.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Emmanuel Lutheran, Alexandria, Virginia; Bethel Lutheran, Ballinger, Texas; Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas; Beautiful Savior Lutheran, Bridgeton, Missouri; Christ Our King Community Lutheran, Costa Mesa, California; Lord of Life Lutheran, Plano, Texas; Christ Lutheran, Platte Woods, Missouri; Hope Lutheran, Sonora, Texas; Faith Lutheran, Arizona, Texas; and Emmanuel Lutheran, Steger, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking at Psalm 103. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to Redeemer Theological Academy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, Moses gets mentioned here, and if you look at kind of the theology of the verses surrounding that mention of him there in verses 6 and so, it's almost the Old Testament in a nutshell, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. It condenses it all together. And of course, remember what the Psalms are doing is it's taking the Torah, the five books of Moses, and it's taking that Torah as the basis upon which we would then pray. So we are now taking that word and we're praising God, that word of life that he's given to us in the accounts of Moses, which of course Moses gives us the promise of this kingdom, Christ's kingdom that brings life where there is death and light where there is darkness and truth where there is deception. It's the kingdom that we're waiting for, that we're waiting for Christ. And so what kind of a kingdom is he going to bring? Well, it's a kingdom of righteousness and justice. And he's going to do this for the oppressed. Now, of course, that picture of the oppressed people of God in Egypt is as clear as day, that God's own people find themselves in Egypt and they are being oppressed by Pharaoh. And, of course, Pharaoh becomes the epitome of all these, the kings of the earth and these temporary kingdoms that are always in league with the devil, trying to prevent God's people from hearing the promises and the word of God and trying to stop God's kingdom from coming to God's people. well, that kingdom is going to come. So God's the one who brings righteousness. He's the one who brings justice, and he's the one who hears the pleas of the oppressed. His people there in Egypt in slavery and captivity, and he comes down and he delivers them. And that's always a picture of what God will do to bring us into his eternal kingdom with Christ, who comes down from heaven. He takes upon flesh to dwell with us and to deliver us from the slavery and the oppression of the great oppressor, the devil himself. And that's the kingdom that we're looking for, is the kingdom of the true David. Isaiah will paint that picture in chapter 9 of this kingdom, that of the increase of his government, there will be peace. It's a peace that will have no end. It's an eternal peace with God. And it's on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish what? Justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. That this is going to be an eternal kingdom. This is eternal righteousness, eternal justice, this eternal delivery from oppression, taking us out of the slavery to sin and the devil. And that's the picture of the kind of kingdom that Christ brings. A kingdom in which we receive pardon and redemption and healing, and our souls are satisfied in him. He gives to us goodness. He continues to give us life. He renews us with these wings like an eagle. And this all goes back to that picture that was given to Moses, the vision that Moses saw himself when God appears to Moses. That's the second person of the Holy Trinity, of course. You see this, that here it says that he made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the people of God. Well, of course, that's clearly seen in the deliverance out of Egypt when they go through the Exodus, that God is the one who redeems them from this slavery, and he's the one who appears to Moses. Most specifically, you'll see this in Exodus chapter 33, in which Moses is having a conversation with Yahweh, and Moses pleads to him, and he petitions him and says, if I found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. And here's this passage in Psalm 103 that he made known his ways to Moses. Well, that happens in Exodus chapter 33 specifically, and of course moving into Exodus chapter 34 when Moses says, please show me your glory. Well, this is when the Kavod Yahweh, the glory of the Lord, descends and stands before him. So in Exodus 34, that picture of the second person of the Holy Trinity, the pre-incarnate Christ, is Yahweh descends in the cloud and stood with Moses, and he proclaims the name of Yahweh. And so you have this proclamation of the name Yahweh, and it's the name that teaches us who God is. He's a God who is merciful, a God who is gracious, a God who is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, that he is one who forgives iniquity and the transgressions and sin of his people. He's the one that comes to be with us, to take us and to make us into his holy people. And so this is the way that Moses sees, and you'll have this in Psalm 103 when it goes on to verse 8 saying, Yahweh is merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Well, that's what Moses saw when he came to him in Exodus chapter 34. So you have going back to who God is and what God does. He comes to seek and to save the lost. He comes that we may have life and have it abundantly. He comes to redeem us, to pardon us, to heal us, to make us his people, and to populate his kingdom with sinners that have been restored.
Talk about these phrases here a little bit more. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins or repay us according to our iniquities.
Yeah, now this is one of the things that we as God's people, we have this good word, the good word that gives to us life. We have that gospel. It's that good news that we have, that for the person and sake of Christ, we now have found favor with the Father, that he now delights in us, that he takes pleasure in us. He looks at us and he sees his Son. He sees perfection. He does not count his sin against us. And so that good word gives to us a good conscience. And now what that means with a good conscience is that our heart is clean and it's clear before God because we have that word that overrides any experience or feeling that we have in this life. Now, in the inner man, we have this promise that we are now at peace and we're reconciled with God. But on the outside, the external experience that we have, we feel things that don't seem to jive with that inner peace that we have. We see things that are hard. They are affliction. They are trials. They're tribulations. That you see the harshness. You see things that look like it looks like God has forsaken us. It looks like God doesn't listen to us. It looks like God is now our enemy, and our conscience then starts telling us about the sin that we have, and it bears witness with these experiences in our life, and our conscience says, yep, you are a sinner, and God is a judge, and now you're being judged, and you're being condemned because you're a sinner. Well, this word of promise, that good word, that's that word of blessing, the word that gives life that comes from God, who is life. That's the word that we continue to put on our mouths, on our lips, so that we can even instruct our own conscience. We can restore our conscience so that our conscience is in line with what God's good word says. Because, see, the conscience cannot justify us. The conscience cannot forgive us our sins. Only God can do that. Only God can justify, that's pardon us from all of our iniquity. So it's the good word that we keep speaking to ourselves. And that's the word that we keep saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. So when we speak that good word, that good news, the gospel word that brings life, we're telling our conscience to be silent, to be patient, to know that the Lord is promising that he is our friend, all for the sake of Christ, even though it may appear that he's our enemy. So you go back to that passage like in Isaiah 35. It's to those who have an anxious heart, you say, be strong. You say, fear not, and you say, behold your God. So that's the good word that you're telling yourself, that you experience things on the outside that seem contrary to fact of this promise, but inside, you continue to trust in the promise of God. You continue to listen and cling to that word. It's that word that tells you that he will not always chide. This is temporary. This external affliction, this is going to pass by. That God works together for the good of all things for those who love him. And he will not keep his anger forever. That this is only a temporal time. And all of these afflictions in our life on the exterior, the outward that we experience, God is using those things to make us and to mold us and to shape us into his people. That he's going to use it for good. So you're constantly teaching your own soul. You're saying, why are you cast down, O my soul? Don't worry. God is promising us in the good word, the gospel, in the person work of Jesus, that he is our friend, not our enemy, that we have a mediator with the Father, that although we have sin, he comes to pardon. He comes to take us that sin away. And you'll go on to verse 10, it says, he does not deal with us according to our sin, nor repay us according to our iniquity. So your conscience may rattle you, and it may be alarmed and say, hey, look, you're a sinner, and that's why all these bad things are happening. But that word, the good word on your mouth, it resets your conscience, and it says, conscience, I don't care what you say, I care what God says, and his promise is that I now have the forgiveness of sins in Christ, that I now have peace with God, the Father through the Son. I have been justified and I've been declared righteous. So he's not going to deal with me according to my sins. Even this word to deal with, this is this Hebrew word gamal, which is that same word we had back before that's talking about benefits, that's talking about the recompense. That how is he going to deal with us? Well, he's going to deal with us through his Son. This is the kingdom of Christ. It's a kingdom of forgiveness. It's a kingdom of comfort and peace.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our series is Christ in the Old Testament. We're looking at Psalm 103. When we come back, we're going to be looking at those verses where, and these are often cited, and even Christians remind themselves of this in terms of what the absolution means. As far as the East is from the West, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. Stay tuned.
The next C in classical stands for cultural transmission. Our task is the passing on of the heritage of Western civilization. Whereas other forms of education may base lessons on current movies, television shows, or cartoon characters, in classical education we strive to hold and cherish the gifts of the past, grateful for all we have been given. To this end, we teach our children the stories and books every child should know, the historical events and people every child should know, and the geography, music, and art every child should know. In this way, we close educational gaps, and we cultivate a taste for that which is excellent. As we do this, as Lutherans, we teach the humbling and certain historic and present promise of salvation in Christ alone. Join us, the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education, at ccle.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Creo en Dios Padre Todopoderoso. Millones confesan los credos cada semana. ¿Pero por qué? Aprende más sobre los credos cristianos y las confesiones luteranas este mes en The Lutheran Witness. Recibe 6 ediciones de la revista principal de la Iglesia Luterana Sínodo de Missouri para $6.99 por visitar a cph.org/trylutheranwitness. The Lutheran Witness, interpretando a un mundo contemporáneo desde una perspectiva cristiana.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page, or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series is Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Our Issues, Etc. book of the month for September is a great resource for congregations and Christians. It answers a simple question: why membership matters. Membership in Christ's body, the church, membership in your local congregation. They go together, and you'll find out why in the Issues, Etc. book of the month for September called Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Find it at our website on every page, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them for Connected to Christ, Why Membership Matters. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, take us into these parallel statements. As high as the heavens are above the earth, and as far as the east is from the west.
It gives you this image, this extreme image, that you go as high as possible, the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. That it's bigger, it's better than anything you can possibly imagine. That's how much chesed He has for us, that's how much he cares for us, that He loves us, that He comes to give us this good word. And then you have this image here of the east from the west. You have these two extremes, that as far as the east is from the west, He's going to remove our transgression. So He's going to take that transgression and He's going to take it away. Now, even this word transgression, again, peshah, this is the word of rebellion, that we have transgressed. We are rebels. We are those who have been fighting against His kingdom, and His kingdom is going to come, and He does something completely opposite. Instead of looking at us and say, we're the enemies, He looks at the devil and He says, the devil's the enemy. And he looks at us and says, you're my friends. And so you're participants in the kingdom. And so he's removed our rebellion from us. And so we're no longer rebels in his sight. We are adopted sons and heirs of the kingdom. And then you have the picture then as a father shows compassion to his children. That the father, that God is this loving father, all for the sake of Jesus. Jesus being the only begotten son. And then now in Christ, we are a new creation. There's no condemnation. We have been adopted by grace. When we were baptized, we have been clothed and dressed with the righteousness of Christ, and now we stand as sons by faith. We are heirs of the kingdom, and we call upon God as our Father, all for the sake of Jesus. So, again, we now have peace with the Father because we've been justified. We've been forgiven all of our sins. They've been counted to Christ, and they're not counted against us. So as far as the East is from the West, they've been removed. They're no longer ours. Instead, he shows compassion to us, that he sees us as his own children. He sees the righteousness of Christ that becomes ours by faith in this mystical way, just like a husband and a bride become one through faith. Our soul becomes one with Christ, and we have what he has, and he has the righteousness of God, and he gives it to be our own before the Father.
Then we have kind of the second half of this psalm that we need to discuss here. What should we say of the last verses, the last, I don't know, five or six verses? You say that it has to do with the Lord establishing his kingdom.
And so his kingdom, he's establishing it in the dust. I mean, this is the thing that he knows. He knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. I mean, that's the words that's spoken to Adam when Adam falls into sin. From dust you came, and to dust you shall return. That's the word that we speak at a burial, that a man comes from the ground, and now man goes back to the ground. That it's from this dust that God brought forth life. He spoke that good word which brings forth life, and he speaks that good word to bring forth life in the resurrection of the body. So he's going to establish his kingdom. It's a kingdom of life. It's a kingdom where there is the forgiveness of sins. It's a kingdom of where there is comfort. So now that comparison is man, as for man apart from this kingdom, as for man who doesn't want to hear the word of the kingdom, he is like grass. All his days are like grass, and he flourishes like a flower of the field. Well, again, this echoes those same words of Isaiah 40, the words in which we hear all flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. And what happens to the grass? Well, it withers. And what happens to the flower? Well, it fades, all by the breath of the wind, the ruach, the spirit of the Lord blows on it. And so the grass withers, the flower fades, but what endures forever is the word of God. It will stand forever. And so all these things that we see in this world that's falling apart, all of these experiences that seem to be contrary to the promise of God on the external outward bodies of ours, we continue to cling to the promise in the inner man, that we continue to hold on to this reality, to this comfort, which we have in Isaiah 40 that says, comfort, comfort, my people, says your God. And what is the word of comfort? Well, your iniquity is pardoned. The warfare is ended, and you receive double from the Lord's hand. And it's in Isaiah 40 where you have that good news. The evangelists go out to speak that good word. That's that word of blessing. It's the word of life. And so this is how God establishes his kingdom. It's an everlasting kingdom. It's one in which God rules and reigns with the promise of his word.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you very much.
Great to be here, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to get a biography on 3rd century Bishop Cyprian of Carthage with Dr. Joel Olowski. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity with Chris Roseborough, and we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Issues Etc. has been brought to you in part today by the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families,
and entities, and the proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at lutheranfcu.org, the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. It is a good thing that God forgets our iniquities, that he removes them from us and from himself as far as the east is from the west, as high as the heavens are above the earth. So great is his steadfast love toward us in Jesus Christ. This is the basis of our comfort, that Christ has removed our sins from us by taking them on himself in his suffering, death, and resurrection. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Jesus the Good Shepherd says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." We invite you to join us as we listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd and follow him who gives us eternal life. Sunday worship services at 9 a.m., Sunday school and Bible class at 10:30, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, on the web at goodshepherdarnold.org. That's goodshepherdarnold.org.